Thank you, Lord. Amen. Sweet. Sweet. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this morning that we can look into your word as you reveal deep truths of who you are and what you've done for us. And Lord, we just want you to open our hearts to receive what you have to say. And then, Lord, somehow speak to us, touch us in a special way that we can just grasp on and appropriate what you say to. That'll change our lives and as we walk, as we see you. So we give this time to you, and I do pray I'd speak nothing but things of the Spirit, and I pray each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give this service to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's turn to John chapter 20. And verse 21, entitled to the message this morning, Jesus Resurrected. Jesus Resurrected. And let's read from chapter 20 of John. John 20, 21. Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now, as chapter 19, last week, was all about the crucifixion. You know, says, read about in chapter 19 to understand the crucifixion. Now in chapter 20, it's all about the resurrection. So we read chapter 20 and understand about the resurrection. And like chapter 19 on the crucifixion, chapter 20 on the resurrection really speaks for itself. It just, you know, you read through it and you see the truth of it, it speaks for itself. And so Jesus is, and also we see that Jesus' resurrection is proof of our own resurrection and eternal life. You know, well, how do we know we're going to be resurrected? How do we know we're going to heaven? Because we have Jesus in his death and his resurrection. Him sitting at the right hand of God is proof that when we die, we go to heaven and we will be with God in heaven. So Jesus is the proof of that. That's what we're staking that on. And I don't have an overhead for this, but just listen to what Jesus said in chapter 14, verse 1. He said, through 3, it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." All God's people said, amen. Amen. Now again, the proof is in Jesus. So the proof is in Jesus. That, you know, where we have our understanding is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so as we look at this, we all should read the details of the resurrection in chapter 20. We should just do that. I mean, it's just so powerful. And so believing that we will do that, this morning I just want to focus in on something here that and examine this specific instruction that was given by the resurrected Christ. And again, we put this in context of how we're looking at it. It's the resurrected Christ. If you read in chapter 20, you know, nobody believed Jesus. He told everybody that he's going to be raised, but they didn't believe it, you know. And when he was resurrected, when they saw him, it's like they had trouble believing it. When they saw him, and it took certain, you know, interaction with him, it's like he really is alive, you know. So this whole thing with the resurrection is powerful, and it's proof. And so now we have this resurrected Christ speaking to us. And he says this, among other things, he tells us this. Just think about this. Resurrected Christ, and he tells us this. Tells the disciples, says, As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. I mean, just process that. That's what Jesus, that's what the resurrected Christ said. That's what he said. Now, what he's doing here, Jesus is giving us an assignment. That's what he's doing. He's giving us an assignment. And most people, I believe most people, and I think most Christians, you know, would be this requirement that Jesus is giving us would be to do loads of good work. Okay? I mean, it just assumed. Except Jesus is our Savior. We all know we can add nothing to it. We are totally forgiven. And so we read something like this, and now that you're totally forgiven, now in this life, you need to do loads of good works. You need to be a missionary. You need to help the poor. Just add to the list of good works, you know. And while these are good, and we should help, you know, in every opportunity we have. We should help where we could. But this is not what he's saying. When he says it here, he's not talking about that. When he says this, that is the Lord has sent me, he's going to send you. So you can feed all the poor. Did he? I'm just asking a question. Did he feed all the poor? Did he feed the poor? I mean, he fed the 5,000, but that's just because they're so excited they ran off without any food. You should go home and eat. You know, you ought to plan things out. See, did he run and feed the poor? You know, all the poor. Did he heal everybody? Now, I heard a lot of it. He healed everybody. No, he didn't. He didn't heal everybody. They were, I love this, they were in Peter after Jesus resurrected, you know, it's going. So Peter, you know, Jesus has spent all this time in Jerusalem healing people, doesn't it, right? And so he's resurrected, he goes to heaven. So Peter, he's walking in town, you know, and he's going to the temple, and he comes to a blind man that has been there his entire life. Jesus, you missed somebody. I mean, how do you heal? You missed him. So here Peter heals him. The point I'm trying to make here is to understand Jesus is telling something about him and his ministry and who he is and who he is and what he did. And we look at him as the Son of God that supplied salvation for all men. For all men. That's something. Okay, and when Jesus was on the cross, he said something, and we talked, it was really interesting. It's finished. Was it? He didn't heal that blind guy in Jerusalem. He's been there every day his whole life. You sure Jesus never saw this guy? And again, I'm just trying to drive home a point. Jesus healed anybody, anytime, and everything. All right? But he didn't heal everybody. Because that's not what he came to do. Okay? And again, he fed the 5,000. But it wasn't because, you know, they were the poor. I'm sure they didn't have much, but they had plenty to eat. They just didn't bring it. Now, Wallace, where are you going with all this stuff? Because he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Okay? And did he send Jesus to feed all the poor? Did he send Jesus to heal every person? He didn't. So if he was supposed to, he didn't do it. So he's going to send me to feed all the poor. He even talks about the poor disciples, and he said, in fact, they gave him, you know, he was talking about the woman poured the oil on his feet. And they said, why this waste? We could give the money to feed the poor. He said, no. You only have me for a little while. And she's shown great love to me. You'll always have the poor. And when you have opportunity, you should feed them. So the point of it is, if the Father sent Jesus, He also sends us. So we need to understand, you know, the picture of what He is telling us, of what He's telling us. Amen? So we look at this, and so Jesus is giving us an assignment. So it says, as Jesus was sent, we are to be sent. So we need to look closely how Jesus was sent. Y'all with me? Okay. Now, I'm just going to read one verse, but it gives us some insight. I'm just read it to you. You write it down. John 5:30. Okay, here's Jesus. John 5:30. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. I know where this whole world of starving people are. Jesus, we think you should go. Jesus says, I do nothing on my own. What I am supposed to do to carry what the Father wants me to do, He will tell me what to do. Right? That's what. He says, I can do nothing on my own. Well, if He can't do it on His own, how does He does it? Do it. The Father tells Him. Let me read the thing. I can do nothing on my own. I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. So Jesus is coming in to this world, and He is, I have an assignment, and I can't do anything on my own, and I can only do what the Father tells me. Okay, amen? Okay? So that's how He sent Jesus. That's how He will send us. We are supposed to do what the Father tells us. What the Father tells us. That's what we are supposed to do. Now, this means, bear with me here, we fulfill our assignment by doing nothing on our own. How many of you, I love you. I mean, I just love you. I'm not one of them, but I love you. All you type A personalities. See? Now, and I drive type A personalities nuts. I mean, I just do, you know. I just do. And yeah, people say, hey, come on, we need to do this. I say, have at it. See, nothing wrong with me in the type A personality, because God uses gifting to do great things. But even a type A personality needs to hear what to do and then apply it. See, God said, the type A personality, I'm just having fun. Y'all having fun with me. It's like a type A personality. I want you to build this huge skyscraper. You know, God wants it built, okay? He's not going to tell me. He is not going to tell me. You know, Mr. Gabriel said, tell Wallace. He says, no, I don't. We won't tell him. It won't get done. You know, I'll tell him and he won't get done. It's just not going to happen. He's just not made that one. But you know, there are people that type paper, but you tell him and he can get done. All he needs is the word, because I've given him all the capacity to do it. You see what I'm saying? So that's who he will tell. So even the type A needs to hear what God says so he can take everything he had to do what he needs to do. I love that when they're building the temple, they made all this elaborate thing, you know, elaborate carvings and molding and stuff. And he says, and he names the guys, forgive me, I can't remember their names. He says, take John and Joe. That's not. And he says, because I have gifted them to work in metal. Why did he ask me? He could tell me about metal. Maybe No, I've gifted these guys. Tell them. You see what I'm saying? So this goes back. Jesus says, as the Father sent me to do what the Father said, I am sending you to do what I said. And how can we ever do what Jesus said if we don't ever hear what he says? Or, you know, we are, you know, so full of ourselves that we'll do stuff and try to hang Jesus' name on it. You know? And by the way, human beings have a lot of capacity because they're made in the image of God. Human beings can do outstanding things, unbelievable things, but they're not necessarily what God wants to have done. Now, he will use people like he talked to Pharaoh. Jesus, he said, Pharaoh, talk to Pharaoh. So I'm going to use Pharaoh. I'm raising him up so I can do what I want to do with him. Pharaoh's going, get him, you know. No, God raised Pharaoh up. See? Okay, now, y'all with me? You got the point. Okay, you're with me what I'm saying. So when Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I send you, we better pause and say, well, what are you telling us? What are you telling me? No, I shouldn't say us. You should say, what is he telling me? Because there usually no us. What is he telling me? Like we sat there and, okay, Carlos, you know, God will tell Carlos something, you know, but he'll tell me something different. It's not. Carlos is wired different than me. And so he has a different view for Carlos than me, you know. And so he'll tell me something. But the thing of the body of Christ is it works together because he's head over the whole body. And the whole body is supposed to listen to them. And one of the things that elders are supposed to do is they are supposed to oversee and help direct people to Christ to do what God's telling them. See, that's what elders do. See, elders don't do something for themselves. They cover the body that Christ will tell the body to do. Amen? See, I can't get off this first. So the Father sent me, I send you. I send you. And Jesus goes, I can do nothing by myself. Now I just ask you, how much do y'all do by yourself? Huh? Well, why didn't that work out? I got to guess. I can guess. See, so the dynamic of the world, Jesus has just changed the dynamic of the world. He totally changed it, all right? It's going counter to the self-effort of human beings. To the self-effort of human beings for salvation, which we all get. We're not trying to work our way to heaven. We get that, okay? But it didn't stop there. The whole thing changed. That you don't live this life out of self-effort. He's like, well, how do you get anything done? How do you get anything? Well, nothing happened. Maybe nothing happening if we do that because we don't hear and understand what God's doing. You see what I'm saying? So he's changing the dynamic. He's changing the dynamic. And look how he changed it. He changed it by his resurrection. That's how he changed it. The resurrection. Because it's like, whoa. Okay. So here we are. We fulfill our assignment by doing nothing on our own. We hear God and do what he tells us. How do we know this is how we do? How do we know that that's what we're to do? Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Well, nothing will get done. I don't know. Jesus did a bunch. I mean, he got a bunch done. It worked for him. It worked for him. So that's our evidence. Jesus is the Father sent me. I'm sending you. So the dynamics. It's a divine dynamic. It's changed. Now, so we got this down. Listen to the next thing Jesus tells these people. It's the Father sent me. So I send you. And then, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Because you can't do what I'm going to tell you to do. You can't do it. You can't go like I went. And when I send you, you don't have the capacity to go like I went. So he said, "Breathe, receive the Holy Spirit." That's how they do it. That's how they do it. It's the Holy Spirit. Well, who's the Holy Spirit? The Paracletus that he's been telling us all about through chapter 14. See, he just made it real. See, he's passing this whole thing on. Now, so Jesus knew we couldn't accomplish what he said without the Holy Spirit. Not only will Jesus give us an assignment, but he will also give us the power to accomplish everything that he wants us to do. See? The kingdom's changed. Everything's changed. Jesus will give us the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit. For ministry, Jesus provides the Holy Spirit. Do you see what he said? Now he's provided. Now, there's a note. It's amazing. It's a note. This was an initial, the giving of the Holy Spirit here. Breathed on them, gave them the Holy Spirit. This was an initial announcement of which Pentecost would serve as a historic fulfillment. Okay, the historic fulfillment is going to come through Pentecost. Because he said, "Listen, you guys, I'm leaving. Don't go anyplace until the power comes." What this was is just kind of a giving them a taste. This pre-Pentecost event was a teaching tool or an experience. It wasn't the permanent indwelling. Okay, he just sent you like he sent me. That's what it's going to be like. You know? All right, and not all of them were there. Not all of them there. And so it's a teaching tool. The words of Jesus emphasize that the Holy Spirit is not bestowed on the church as an ornament, but to empower us to do the work of Christ. So yes. How can we get this done? You can't. You can't. We were talking about Ian Thomas. Greg and I had a good laugh about this. And Ian Thomas, man, he said that when Christ looks at us, we can't be a bigger failure than he already knows we are. But me? Aren't you happy? You know, see? So what Jesus said, "I'm going to send you, and you can't do this, so I'm giving you the Holy Spirit." So we need to understand that. That's key. All of chapter 14, and now we see it again. And so as the Father sent Jesus full of the Holy Spirit, likewise Jesus sends us full of the Holy Spirit. Okay. All God's people, amen. All right. You can't come in here. You can't come to salvation by your self-efforts. Amen. You cannot live the Christian life by your self-efforts. You can't. Try it. Have at it. You cannot live the Christian life by your self-efforts. By what Jesus wants you to do. You can shake and rattle and get a lot of smoke, you know. That's not what Jesus wanted. What Jesus wanted. I love Colossians, that one verse, and it says this, and it always says, "As you received Jesus, so walk in him." What does that mean? What does that mean? You know? And see, whenever I go, what does that mean? See, he goes, "As you receive Jesus." Well, I receive Jesus. I can't save myself. I can't do anything for myself. I can only be saved by Jesus, no efforts of my own. He says, that's right. As you receive Jesus, walk the same way, because you can't live the Christian life either. That's what that Colossian verse says. As you receive the Lord Jesus, only you can save me. So walk in him. Only you can do this. See? This just goes so against being a human, right? But God's telling us something, and he's really fascinating way of telling this. Now, so we got here in Jesus. Now, what the Apostle Paul does, the Apostle Paul comes and he explains this to us. So he has it, but he explains it to everybody. Because a few people are reading what Jesus said. Wait a minute, I don't know how this works. How do you do this? How do you step out in it? And the Apostle Paul says, I'll tell you. Let me tell you how this works, okay? So the Apostle Paul gives us more understanding of what Jesus just said. That's all he's doing. Jesus said it, but he's given us some understanding. Now, have an overhead here. Look at Romans 6:5. Romans 6:5. Now, understand, too, when we look at this Romans 6, Jesus, the Apostle Paul's not giving us Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, specifically 6, 7, and 8, to tell us we're going to heaven. That's not what Paul's doing in those verses in Romans. He's telling us how to live the Christian life here. I mean, okay, we know we're going to heaven, but Romans 6, 7, and 8 is telling us how to live the life. And so he says this in Romans 6, 5. Now I'm going to back up. I'm going to irritate everybody. Can't save ourselves. All God's people saying, we can't live the Christian life ourselves. A little weaker amen, but okay. The Apostle Paul says, Romans 6:5, for if we have been united with him in his death, like his crucifixion, that's how you're united. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. See, this is what he's talking about. For if you've been united with him in a death like his crucifixion I added, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Now I'm resurrected with Christ, I can do all my self-efforts with power. Process it. Process it. Is that what he's saying? No, I've been resurrected with Christ. I live. He lives through me. He lives through me. I die with him. I live with him. Died through him. He lives through me. Crucifixion, resurrection to us today. For if we've been united with him, in his united together embrace with him in his death, like his crucifixion, we shall certainly be united him with his resurrection. If we're united with him, dying to self, we will likewise live by him in his resurrected life, through his resurrected life. Okay. Now, Paul connects the resurrection of Christ with the new life for those who believe. Paul's making this connection. And new life belongs to the present time. Present time is what he's talking about. Therefore, we see that the resurrection has to do with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, giving us spiritual life. The certainty of our present participation in this new life is grounded in the truth that we have been united with him in his death, dying to our self-efforts. Okay? Resurrected life. We're into the resurrected life, right? Hallelujah, it's fun. We're just trucking. You want to be united. But what it says first is we're united with him in his death. Now we're alive. How are we embraced, united in his death? Crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am crucified with, I'm dying to self-efforts. I am so dead to self that I am embracing Christ, and he lives in his power through me. He speaks to me, and he tells me in such a way that Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. I only do what the Lord tells me. That he wants us to say, I can do nothing on my own. I only do what the Lord tells me. See? He's bringing it home to us. He's bringing it home to us. Now, look, now listen as I say this, continuing on that, Romans 6:8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we won't skip this. We just won't skip it because we won't get it. We won't get it. We won't skip it. No, it's integral about what God's telling us how to live this life. If we have died with Christ, I am crucified with Christ. Paul knew it. He died to self-efforts. Now, if I have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. I died with self-efforts. That's how I died with him. Now I live with him. How am I living? With Christ in me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But Christ lives in me. But you have to die first. And, you know, I do counseling. Sometimes I talk to people and we're counseling about a situation. There's terrible situations, you know. Why this? What happened? I can't hear God. And I don't feel I have any power, God. I want to say, you're so full of yourself that you can never hear God. Your pain and agony and being consumed in that tells me you're so full of yourself, you can never receive what he's given you. See? That's what he's saying right here. See, the Apostle Paul is picking up on what Jesus said and in explaining it to people who are saying, what do you mean? How do you live this life out? So when you see this, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. We have eternal life when we put our trust in him. And Romans 6:8 says, after we trust Jesus, we also die to our self-efforts. It just says it. We die to our self-efforts and let Christ live through us. Do you believe Christ lives through you? I'm just asking you, do you believe it? Okay. Do you believe you need to die to self-efforts to let Christ live in you? See, I have found the understanding of my problem. I have. I've always found it. I keep coming back. It's me. My problem is me, you know? And God, just stop it, you know? And so this is what he's telling us right here, right here. Now, so going on, the life in Christ on earth requires a decision on our part. Process it. The life in Christ on this earth requires a decision on our part. If I had Rich to do his drum roll right now, I mean, if we could get our arms around this next verse, we'd go, oh, I got this. Got it. I got the whole thing. This next verse is going to tell us the whole thing. So Rich is doing the drum roll. Okay. Okay. Look at Romans overhead. Romans 6:11. Now this is all in context. I'm not jumping all over the place. We're just flowing in chapter 6. If you know, it says, if we die with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. Verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, look at this. So you also must consider yourselves dead. How do we get dead? We must consider ourselves dead. How do we get crucified? We need to consider ourselves crucified. Now, this word consider, that's it. That's the word. That's a life-changing word, by the way, is consider. All right? Consider literally means make a decision and act on it. That's what it means. I mean, putting it, you also must make a decision and act on it. Where's the power of God? Make a decision and act on it. How do I die this? Make a decision and act on it. See, but, there's no but, make a decision and act on it. He says, you know, Lord's Prayer, we give all like he's forgiven us. Make a decision and act on it. See? So, The key word, so and this key word can be translated. It can be translated two ways: count it so, or reckon it so. Okay, so you must count it so or reckon it so. I like reckoned. It sounds to me like the good old boys. You know, I think a little hillbilly and Paul. You know, I reckon we ought to go over there. You know, I reckon we ought to be nice to them. So I want you to always remember that, consider me, I reckon we should do this. You know, as God says, I reckon I need to die to my self-efforts. Who's the issue here? You got to reckon to die. Now turn it to the other side. You need to reckon to live for Christ. You reckon to die, you reckon to live. You bring Christ into the situation. I reckon to die, I reckon to live. And God, I'm so excited about this situation to watch you work. See, because we have turned it over to Him. Now also, we have come to a point of a powerful presence and avenue of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. By reckoning to die, and reckoning to live, and releasing Christ. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, and I only do what He tells me, I can do nothing on my own. I send you. You can do nothing, and you can do nothing on your own. You've got to reckon to be dead, and I reckon to be alive through me. Simple. You have a problem with your Christian life. Simple. It's simple. Now, the problem is, we don't want to do it. There's the problem. But you don't know what they said to me. They deserve a little of my wrath. Just a little. You know, and I'm sure you'll take care of them to heaven. But Lord, I'd like to interfere with you right now and take care of them now. See? And I have every right. And in fact, if I have enough time to talk to you, I could probably convince you I'm right. You know? See? And Jesus goes, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. See, reckoning, and listen to them, reckoning or considering, reckoning does not create the fact of union with Christ. See, this is union with Christ. Reckoning does not create the fact of the union with Christ, but reckoning makes it operative. See, the union with Christ, we are united with Christ. We don't reckon we'll be united with Christ. It does not create the fact of union but with Christ, but reckoning makes it operative in our life. Consider it so. Act on this so. Consider living with Christ so. Consider dying with Christ so. You reckon it so. You don't create it here, but when you reckon it here, you make it operative so God can use you. It's with us. It's with us. And I know you know that my problem is with me. All right? I just want to share something with you. Your problem is with you. I won't ever say that again, but it is. It is, because you're looking at the power of Christ. The power of Christ. And Christ says, I'm changing everything. Christ says, I'm changing everything. When he came, as God has sent Him, He sends us. He's changing everything. Now, as a believer in Christ, as a believer with Christ in us, everybody believe Christ is in us. As a believer with Christ in us, functioning in the world, we make a decision, reckon it so, to be dead to sin and alive to God. How many of you are so passionate about the way God should work that we make it happen? Because that's what we think. That's not a crucified life. That's a self-effort life. You back up, Lord. All my self-efforts I give to you. All I want to do is worship you. And I reckon that you will work through me and show me your power in this situation. See? Reckon? Reckon. That's our participation in the Christian life, our participation with the mighty God. That's the reason Jesus died. We were independent of God, separate from God, and he makes us dependent upon God, listening to God, and doing what he says. That's the key. Therefore, we reckon ourselves dead, reckon ourselves alive. Alive. Now, the Holy Spirit is quenched or released based on our decision. I don't know. You kind of like would say something different, but that's it. The power of God, the power of God flowing is based on our decision. Now, God could do anything with us, but he wants us engaged with him as one operating. He is one. But who does that? Oh, Jesus. Jesus and God were one. Okay, can do nothing on my own. Lord, I'm only one to watch you do. And he wants us to say, God, we can't do anything of our own. I want to just be one with you. I can't do this on my own. And I want to be one with you. God goes, yeah, now for all eternity, me, you, Father, and Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Now, the verb here, by the way, this word reckon, consider the verb here is present tense. Now, it's present tense, indicating that we must continually make decisions for Christ in every situation and every day. How often do we do this? Every situation, every day. All the time. You go, how do we just succeed here and we just fall on our face here? Because of this. You reckoned it so here and you didn't reckon it so here. You know? It's God's fault. It's not God's fault. Well, not everybody just loves me. Well, no, they didn't love him. You know? See, he's telling us how to walk through this. Now, listen, when you take this and you look at it this way, we must continue to make decisions to live for Christ or the body of sin is reactivated. Now, a lot of you are going, well, that doesn't sound theologically correct. But I know it's a fact. It's true. For every one of you. Don't you? Just walking with Jesus and then something happens. We reactivate it. Oh God, I give over that insult to you and what you work. You know, no. I'm going to get them back. That's body is reactivated and we're kind of glad about it. You know, there's like the guy that's, it's supposed to have been true, I don't know, he's had a bad bringing up, brawler, fighter and stuff like that, and he's got in the church and his preacher got, and one of the congregants got and just chewed him out, you know, and he's trying to give it to Jesus, and he finally told the guy, he says, you know, I need to tell you that before I came to know Christ, this is what I do, I'm such a brawler and fighter, I was mean, I hurt a lot of people, and I want you to just know that my sinful body is reactivating. And so you need to stop, because it's reactivating. Well, I mean, he's really true. And we do it all the time. You know, don't we do it all the time? I do it all the time. Shouldn't you? But so what you have here is we're understanding how we function as believers in this world. You know, some people, oh, you accept Christ and you kind of float along on this cloud and do everything right. Stay away from those people. They're Pharisees. I mean, they'll do more damage than anybody you ever met. Okay? I'm just telling you up front. Be nice to them, but just watch them. So, what it is, it's a paradox. The Christian is dead and alive at the same time. Now, a lot of people don't believe this, but every Christian experiences this every day in their lives, every one of us. You know, we're just denying the truth, and God's trying to tell us what it is. See, a believer, this is what, it, as a believer, this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us, okay? So all this stuff I've been saying, and then the Apostle Paul wraps it up into himself, okay? Then you reckon yourself dead, crucified, you reckon yourself alive with Christ and the power of Christ working through you. Now listen closely, and we've read this before, what Paul said. He understands this. He's trying to communicate it. It's Galatians 2:20. I'll read the whole thing. I have been crucified with Christ. That's what he said. I have been. He's live talking. He reckoned it so. His self-effort. Okay. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Telling you, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How's that happen? I reckon it true, and I act on it. I reckon it true. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, we're stuck with this thing. We are stuck with it. Okay? The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. Now, what's faith? We know a definition. Hear God, do what he says. The life I live in this body, okay, I hear God and I do what he says. What Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. He goes, I send you like he sent me. I can do nothing on my own. See, Paul says it right here. See, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. Hearing and then doing in the Son of God, by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. See, the world changed for us. The world changed. Now we're supposed to operate in this new kingdom. In this new kingdom. All the potential of the resurrected life is always present to empower us. And I'm so empowered and so full of the Holy Spirit, and I get so mad at somebody, I could choke them. How'd that happen? I reckoned myself alive, and I got over with them, and I forgot all about that. And I reckoned myself to get a hold of his throat. See, what? How can you do that? Because it's up to us. And that's the reason it calls the Christian life a walk. You walk. It's a walk. It's how you learn to walk, and how you learn to bring Christ into every situation, or recognize what Christ's doing, and live in his power, and live as he's telling us here. You reckon it to be so. All right. So, our decisions, the power of Christ is always present. It's always present, okay? Our decisions will reactivate the body of sin. I'm just telling you, some people don't believe this. And I've had discussions. We've had heated arguments. We swung at each other. No, I'm kidding you. But that's what happens, you know, because you can't live out. You can't live out totally doing nothing wrong and totally seeing God and putting him first. I can't. And you can. So God is just explaining what this is, what's going on here. Our decisions will reactivate the body of sin or fill us with the resurrected power of Christ. We have Christ in us always. Okay? We open it up. He can work. We go, no. We quench it, which is biblical. Okay. Now look what it says, and I'll be closing with this. 2 Timothy 2:11. Now, in Timothy, Paul's talking about the same thing. This is not dying and going to heaven. He's talking about the church. In this whole thing, he's talking about the church in 2 Timothy. And he goes this saying is trustworthy, for if, that word's there, by the way, that's the reason I put quotes around it. It wasn't added. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we also live with him. The problem with not living with him in power is we don't die with him. Oh, I want to live with him. I want to die with him. And the living with him will come. Die with him. Die to the self-efforts, and the living with him will come. And it is an exciting life of seeing Christ work constantly, no matter what happens. Oh my God, what is the Lord doing? What is happening here? I can see God working because I only do what the Father tells me, and He's showing me things only He wants me to see, and He will work through me and give me wisdom to say and speak in every difficult situation. But to do that, sometimes He has to bring us into a difficult situation. And we need to allow Him bring us there. And then we say, okay, God, what are you doing? How are you working through this? And He empowers us through that difficult situation. It's all here. It's all here. And I just want to share this. My good friend, Bill Wright. He said, now you've heard this. Now you're accountable. He didn't have a lot of empathy. But anyway, that was it. He goes, but we don't, this is what's happening. This is happening in every one of your lives. This is how it works. And this is how you can rise above the situations. But to rise above a situation, you have to have a situation. Right? You will. So God, but we have all the power of the universe, and God is moving. He's powerfully, and He loves each one of us individually. See, this verse is looking at the evidence in a believer's life. If we have died with Him, you will live with Him. The key to releasing the resurrection power is dying to our self-efforts. The Pauline formula is, you die to live. You die to live. And it's Jesus alone. It's like the songs we were singing this morning. It's Jesus alone. That's all it is. We were Jesus alone. Jesus died to give us life on earth. Jesus died to give us life on earth and in heaven. On earth and in heaven. Amen? So we close with this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish and have eternal life. Amen? Amen? And then, Jesus tells us that in John 3. But in John 20, He said, now, I'm, just like He sent me, listen, I'm going to send you. I encourage you with this. You know, you understand what your assignment is then? You understand what your... My assignment is this. No, God's not telling you that. He might. But what Jesus said your assignment is you step in that situation, you die yourself, and then Jesus, I submit to you. My life's in you, and I'm watching you work. That's your assignment. That's what Jesus did. That is what Jesus did. Amen? And He says, now I want you to do just what I did. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This is amazing when you look at it. It's so over our human mind. It is so over our human mind. And also, Lord, we have to have a belief that you do work and that you will move in situations and that you will care for us. We have to believe that, Lord. The belief is on us that we can trust you, that you will do your work, God. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, the bottom line of the whole, that you love us more than we can ever imagine. More than we can ever imagine. And you're not doing anything to us to bring any harm to us ever. Will we go through difficult situations? Sure. But just like the three men in Daniel that were thrown into the fiery furnace, when Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he says, I see four men. And one of them looks like Jesus. He actually said the Son of Man. But he said, we threw four in the fire. We threw three in the fire, but I see four. And the fourth one looks like Jesus. Jesus is in the fire with you. It's not your self-efforts. It's trusting in Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and goodness. We give you all things. And Lord, you're sharing this for encouragement. You're sharing us this so that we can live through and walk through our difficult situations, so we can have confidence in our difficult situations, to know we're not alone in our difficult situations. We can praise you in the good times and the bad times because you're always present with us and you care for us. And you care for us more than we ever imagined. And so, God, we thank you for that. We give you all praise and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, since Adam is on a cruise, how can I, there's just something wrong with that.